welcome to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministry Kids Program. My name is Kayla Jo. This program is made by and for children and youth. This hour we have Let's Read the Bible, Unlocked, Children's Bible Drama, and Daily Devotional. I hope that we can grow our faith in God as we listen to the program together. You can even invite your friends to listen to this program with you. Now, let's start this week's program. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I am the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. When you are about to eat food, have you ever found yourself washing the dishes quickly because you couldn't find a clean plate to eat your meal on? For me, I regret that I didn't do the dishes early enough to use them to eat from. This always happens when I say, "Oh, I'll wash the dishes later," and then pile up the used dishes without washing them immediately. It could have been prevented if I washed the dishes after each meal. Even if you have a good plate, if it is dirty and not ready for use, then it serves no purpose. The Apostle Paul gives a similar lesson to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, which we are going to be reading today. It is in chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 that says, "In a large house, there are things made out of gold and silver, but there are also things made out of wood and clay. Some have special purposes, others have common purposes." Suppose someone stays away from what is common. Then the master will be able to use them for special purposes. They will be made holy. They will be ready to do any good work. The Apostle Paul says that there are a variety of dishes in a big house. Some are expensive and made out of gold and silver, and some are made out of wood and clay and are inexpensive. But he didn't say that things made out of gold and silver are more preciously used and things that are made out of gold. But he didn't say that the things made out of gold and silver are more preciously used and things made out of wood and clay are not useful. What a dish is made of doesn't determine the purpose of the dish, whether it is used preciously or not. But how clean the dish is will distinguish the dishes as whether or not they will be used preciously or disregarded. Likewise, anyone who keeps themselves clean will become like the dishes that are preciously used. In other words, the clean dishes will become worthy and will be used according to the master's purpose, and will be used only for good purposes. How we used to be in the past is not important. What's more important is if we are clean or not in order for God to use us. How are we today? After being cleaned by the blood of Jesus Christ, are we living sinless lives by keeping ourselves clean? When we keep ourselves clean, our Lord Jesus Christ will use us for His precious, good, and holy purposes. I hope that we all become precious dishes of His to be used for His good purpose. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for making us clean through the blood of Jesus. Please help us to keep ourselves clean in Jesus and help us to be fully equipped for you to complete your will. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Tobias E. from California will read the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Tobias Yi. I am 8 years old and I live in California. Today I am going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 14 through 26. Let's read the Bible. "Keep reminding God's people of these things. While God is watching, warn them not to argue about words that doesn't have any value. It only destroys those who listen. Do your best to please God. Be a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. Teach the message of truth correctly. Stay away from godless chatter. Those who take part in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like deadly sickness. Hymenaeus and Philetus are two of those teachers. They have turned away from the truth. They say that the time when people will rise from the dead has already come. They destroyed the faith of some people, but God's solid foundation stands firm. Here is the message written on it. The Lord knows who His own people are. Numbers chapter 16, verse 5. Also, all who say they believe in the Lord must turn away from evil. In a large house, there are things made of gold and silver, but there are also things made of wood and clay. Some have special purposes, others have common purposes. Suppose someone stays away from what is common, then their master will be able to use them for special purposes. They will be made holy. They will be ready to do any good work. Run away from the evil things that young people long for. Try hard to do what is right. Have faith, love, and peace. Do these things together with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with arguing. It is dumb and foolish. You know it only leads to fights. Anyone who serves the Lord must not be hard to get along with. Instead, they must be kind to everyone. They must be able to teach. The one who serves must not hold anything against anyone. They must gently teach those who are against them. Maybe God will give them a changed heart to those who are against you. That will lead them to know the truth. Maybe they will come to their senses. Maybe they will escape from the devil's trap. He has taken them as prisoners to do what he wanted. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to read this today. Let us go out of the devil's trap. We must not hold anything against anyone. We must gently teach those who are against us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be two episodes every week. Here is the first episode.
What scripture passages do you love the most? Hey there, I'm Emily, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. In the Word of God, we find truth, encouragement, wisdom, and answers. It's what we're talking about in our devotion today. Our story is called God's Word Has Answers, and it was written by Bethany Acker. God's Word, the Bible, is the source of all truth. No matter what we're feeling or facing, we can run to Scripture to find answers. Feeling unloved? Remember God sent His Son to die to save you, John 3:16. Feeling down? Remember God's people have faced hard things all throughout time, and He has been with them through it all, as seen in countless accounts in the Bible. Feeling stressed? Remember God even takes care of birds and has promised to take care of His people, Matthew 6:25 through 26. Feeling persecuted? Remember the Apostle Paul and many others were often persecuted for their faith. We expect persecution when we share the gospel, but we do not live in fear because Jesus is with us, Luke 12:11 through 12, John 15:18 through 25. Feeling worried? Remember, God sees and knows you and knows the future, Romans 8:28, 1 Peter 5:7, 1 John 3:20. When you are feeling any kind of fear or pain, remember God is with you, Matthew 28:20. When you are feeling nervous about the decisions you have to make, when you are trying to figure out how to respond to those who are being cruel to you, or whatever it is you are facing, look to Him for guidance. He's given us His Word, which is filled with the true story of how He is bringing salvation from sin and death for all who put their trust in Him. In its pages, we find answers, encouragement, and hope to help us respond in a God-honoring way in any situation. When you are feeling unloved, down, stressed, or persecuted, God's Word can help you through it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." So let's talk about this. What Scripture passages do you love most? What questions do you have about the Bible? And who are trusted Christians in your life, such as pastors, parents, counselors, or teachers, who you could bring those questions to? There is nothing like reading God's Word, and I encourage you to do some more reading on your own today. I just read a verse from 2 Timothy. Check out that verse again and the verse before it, 2 Timothy 3:15 through 16, to keep God's Word alive in your life. Thanks so much for being here for this episode of Unlocked. Have you ever thought about writing for Unlocked? We have writer's guidelines on our website, unlocked.org. Check them out to find out how you can craft and submit a devotion of your own. We cannot wait to read what you come up with. And that's it for me. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live your life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here's the second episode of Unblocked.
When has someone helped you bear your burdens? Hey, I'm Emily, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Did you know the Bible gives us instructions on how to live in community, how to love each other and help each other through difficult times? It's true. And today we are talking about one way we are instructed to do that. Our story is called Bear One Another's Burdens, and it was written by Alexis Woller. What does it mean to bear someone's burdens? Some people think it means to take everyone's problems and put them all on your shoulders, trying to fix things. That mindset is a dangerous one because you don't need to have everyone's burdens on your shoulders. That is too much for anyone except Jesus Himself to take on. That is why He died on the cross, to save us from the burdens of sin and all the brokenness it causes. Matthew 11:28 through 30. So what does God mean when He tells us to bear one another's burdens in Galatians 6:2? He means we love others with the talents and opportunities He has given each of us. He doesn't mean for us to take on the weight of every single person's problems. He already knows that it is too much of a responsibility for us to have, so He wants us to cast our burdens on Him because He is ultimately the only one who can take care of them, 1 Peter 5:7. Bearing burdens can look surprisingly simple. Sometimes all that is needed is a small act of kindness rooted in Jesus' love for us. Helping your parents clean the house if they're too sick to do so. Helping tutor your friend if they're struggling in a subject at school. Or going shopping for your elderly neighbor who needs food. Usually, bearing one another's burdens looks like having a relationship with others and walking alongside them in their day-to-day life. Placing ourselves in their shoes and putting up with them even when we have different backgrounds or opinions. No matter how we serve, as Christians, we love because Jesus loved us first, reminding others of God's presence and the promise that they can lay their burdens at Jesus' feet. 1 John 4:19. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." So let's talk about this. Can you think of a time someone helped you to bear your burdens? What are some practical ways you can help bear someone's burdens and remind them to bring their burdens to the foot of the cross? Don't stop digging into this topic here. Do some reading on your own. Check out Matthew 11:28 through 30 and Galatians 6:1 through 10 to keep God's Word alive in your life. Hey, thanks so much for being here for this episode of Unlocked, a production of Keys for Kids Ministries. Keys for Kids is completely listener-supported, which means we depend on the generosity of people like you to continue producing quarterly devotionals and podcasts. Even a small gift of a few dollars goes a long way. So if you're able to give, you can do that on our website, unlocked.org. Thanks again for joining me. Be sure to come back tomorrow when Andrew shares a story about loving perfectly. Don't miss it. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live your life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Following is the program Children's Bible Drama.
Hello everyone, it's June from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Sisera, commander of the Canaanite army, led his 900 chariots to the Kishon River in an attack upon Israel. God sent a sudden great amount of rain so the wheels of the chariots couldn't move in the muddy riverside. The water from the river overflowed and many Canaanite soldiers were swept away. Sisera was astonished. He abandoned his chariot and ran away to a mountain which was in the opposite direction of where the Israelites were located. Then Sisera arrived at the tent of Heber, who had earlier formed an alliance with him. Heber was not in his tent, and his wife Jair greeted Sisera, the army commander.
I'm so exhausted. I ran for my life and now I don't have any strength. When will Heber return?
I think he'll be home around sunset. You seem tired. Go in the tent and get some rest.
Yes, I think I need some rest.
Lie down and rest over here. I'll get you something to drink.
Yes, I'm very thirsty. Hurry and bring some water.
Instead of water, I'll have some milk here for you to drink. It'll make you less tired and you will sleep well.
Milk? Oh, that is better than water. Hurry and give me some. Oh, that's good. I do seem less tired now. I'm getting sleepy now. I'm going to sleep until Heber comes home. Keep watch in front of the tent. If the Israelites come to look for me, tell them you don't know where I am. Do not tell them that I'm here.
Of course. Hurry and go to sleep.
Yes. Oh, I'm so sleepy.
When Sisera fell into a deep sleep, Jair, the wife of Heber, began to think.
We were in Moses' wife's household and formed a peaceful relationship with the Israelites. My husband betrayed Israel and greatly sinned before God by forming a peaceful relationship with Sisera of Canaan. Today, I will kill Sisera and take back the wrong my husband has done.
Jael took a tent peg and hammer and went in the tent where Sisera was sleeping. Then she placed the peg on Sisera's forehead and raised the hammer.
Sisera, I will punish you on behalf of Israel.
Sisera let out a single cry and died on the spot. It was at that moment when Barak and his men who were looking for Sisera arrived at Jair's tent.
Excuse me, is anyone here?
Who are you?
I am Barak, the general of Israel. Did Sisera, the army commander of Canaan, come this way?
I'm glad you came. He is here. I'll show you.
He's here? Everyone, be on guard.
There's no need to do that. Sisera has already died. Look over here.
Before Barak and his men was the dead body of Sisera with a peg in his head. In this way, when the Israelites repented, God made King Jabin of Canaan, who tormented Israel for 20 years, and Sisera's army chariot of 900 surrender before the Israelites. Later on, the Israelites became more powerful and completely annihilated King Jabin of Canaan. Also, as Deborah prophesied, the glory of bringing judgment upon the enemy Sisera was given to a woman named Jair instead of Barak. Israel was at peace for 40 years after defeating King Jabin of Canaan. And finally, Deborah, the judge, ruled over the people. I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
Thank you. cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the fall. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the Church of God. Christians, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we. One in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Soul Gospel Kids program through apps or podcasts on your smartphone. If you are an iPhone user, go to the App Store and download Heart and Soul. If you possess an Android phone, you can download it in the Play Store in the same way. Podcast users can download by searching Heart and Soul Kids in the search box. It also provides you with distinct broadcasts for kids program. For more information, please contact the office at 602-866-8999. Thank you.
Following is the program Daily Devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week we will listen to Monday through Friday's Daily Devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's Daily Devotional.
I'm glad I took a first aid class. I knew exactly what to do when Mrs. Chen fell and hurt her back.
Knowing first aid is a good idea, and knowing how to share Jesus is like spiritual first aid. It's a great day here at Keys for Kids, and I hope that you're doing well. Thanks for joining me today. Let's get started. Have you ever taken a first aid class? That's where you learn how to bandage wounds, set a tourniquet, and perform CPR. It's good to know those things, especially as you grow up. But knowing how to help people spiritually is just as important. For example, do you know how to share Jesus with your friends? Here's what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15. If someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Our story today is called First Aid Course. While walking home from school, Cora saw Mrs. Chen trip over the curb and fall to the ground. She quickly ran over to see if her elderly neighbor was hurt. Mrs. Chen was trying to get up when Cora reached her, but she obviously was in great pain. "It's my back," said Mrs. Chen. "I hope I didn't break it." "Don't move. You might hurt yourself worse," said Cora. "I'll call 911. Mrs. Chen smiled weakly as Cora took out her cell phone. "Thanks so much, Cora. You seem to know what to do." Soon the ambulance arrived and the paramedics carefully lifted Mrs. Chen into the vehicle. At church the next day, Cora told her class about the incident. "I'm glad I took a first aid course last summer," she said. "I knew enough to have Mrs. Chen lie still so she wouldn't hurt herself worse." Mr. Wellington, the teacher, nodded. "It's good to know what to do in emergencies." He smiled at the class. "We should also be prepared to give spiritual help to those we meet." "You mean we should know how to tell others about how they can be saved?" asked one of the kids. "Some of my friends aren't Christians," said another. "But I don't really know what to say or how to talk to them about Jesus." "Me neither," said Cora. "I'm a little afraid to try because I might not know how to answer their questions or make it clear to them." "Well, think of it like this," Mr. Wellington said. "In a way, coming to church is like the first aid course Cora took. It's where you learn about Jesus and what he did to save us. As you learn more about him through the Bible, you'll be prepared to tell others about him. Just like Cora used her first aid training to help her neighbor, you can help others know more about Jesus by sharing what you learn at church." "What if we goof up?" asked Cora. "Trust God to give you the right words," said Mr. Wellington. "And remember, he's the one who works in a person's heart so they know what the Bible says is true. Just be willing to share what you know about Jesus and let him do the rest." So how about you? Are you afraid you won't know what to say if you try to tell friends about Jesus? It will be easier if you've prepared by regularly reading your Bible and memorizing verses. Listen carefully in church and ask questions about anything you don't understand. Then tell others what Jesus has done for you and trust God to use your testimony to help more people know him. Our key verse is found in the New Testament book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15.
Worship Christ as Lord of your life, and if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it.
And here's our key thought for today. Be prepared to talk about Jesus. As always, I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
"The other guys kicked me out of the club just for talking to the new kid. I hate being rejected like that."
Sounds just like Jesus. He was rejected too. Hi, I'm Zach, and you're listening to Keys for Kids, a great way to grow your faith in God. Have you ever been laughed at or rejected by others for doing the right thing? Maybe you refused to laugh at a dirty joke, or you wouldn't watch a bad movie, and then your friends mocked you and called you names. Remember, Jesus was mocked for doing the right thing, too. He died on the cross so that you could become a child of God. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Our story today is entitled, "Rejected or Accepted." "Hey, Dad," Zachary said as he came into the living room with his shoulders slumped. "Hey, Zachary, what's wrong?" asked Dad. "I had a really bad day at school. Some of my friends were laughing at me because I was talking to the new kid. They didn't want me to talk to him because he isn't very popular." "Oh, I see," Dad said. "So what did you do?" "Well, Miss Betsy heard them laughing at me and told them to stop. So then I just kept talking to him. But after school, everyone knew about it, and they all said I was a goody two-shoes," Zachary sniffled. "And now I can't be in their club anymore." Dad patted Zachary on the back. "Why is being in the club important to you?" he asked. Zachary looked up in surprise. "Because being in their club is cool, and people like you if you're in that club. They don't like me anymore, though. I'm sorry, Zachary, Dad said. It's not nice when people reject you, is it? Zachary shook his head. Did you know Jesus was rejected? Asked Dad. He was laughed at, and some people didn't like him because he was kind to people who were unpopular. People like sinners and tax collectors. They didn't think people like that belonged in God's club, but Jesus knew something they didn't. What was that? Zachary asked. He knew God loved everyone and had a plan to save people from sin. Jesus had come to earth to make a way for sinners to be accepted by God. Loving people was more important to him than what others thought of him. It was so important he was willing to die on a cross for our sins. Jesus was rejected so that we could be accepted into God's family, and that's more important than any club you could be in. Dad smiled at Zachary. You were showing his kindness by talking to the new kid. You refused to reject him because you know Jesus loves everyone. Zachary nodded, cheering up a little. Next time someone rejects me, I'll remember that I've been accepted into the most important club ever, God's club. So, how about you? Have you ever been teased for being nice to someone? Have other kids rejected you because they didn't like who you hung out with? It hurts, doesn't it? Jesus knows what that's like. He was mocked and rejected for showing love to sinners like us. He died on the cross so we could become God's children. When people reject you for showing his love to others, remember, you've been accepted by God. Our key verse is found in the New Testament book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1.
See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God.
And our key thought for the day, you are loved by God. As always, I'm Zach. Thanks for tuning in to Keys for Kids.
Here is Wednesday's daily devotional.
I know Peyton hasn't been a Christian very long, but she should know she shouldn't lie, not even about homework.
It takes a while to become a mature Christian. Why not give your friends some more time? I'm Zach, and you're tuned in to Keys for Kids. I'm so glad that you're listening today. Let's get started. Do you like TV dinners and microwave pizza? That kind of frozen food cooks up quickly, but it's not as good as food that takes some time to prepare. Being a Christian is sort of like that, too. Once you believe in Jesus, you're instantly a Christian, but it still takes time to grow into a mature believer. Those of us who have been Christians for a while should remember Romans 15:1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. Our story today is called Instant Everything. I'm hungry, said Peyton. Can I heat something up for dinner? Sure, said Mom. Why don't you fix something for all of us? How about TV dinners? Okay, but can I make some extra potatoes? We have a box of instant mashed potato flakes, don't we? I know how to do them, and I can fix instant pudding for dessert with whipped topping. If you like, said Mom. I've already made a salad. It's in the refrigerator. We could have quick bake rolls, too. Think you can handle that? No problem, said Peyton. She went to work, and soon the meal was ready. As they ate their dinner, they talked about what had happened that day. Instead of collecting our homework, Mrs. Dirks just asked if we finished it, Peyton said. Before school started, Bella told me she hadn't done hers, but when Mrs. Dirks asked her, she said it was all finished. Can you believe that? That's nothing unusual. Kids do that all the time, said Cooper. Yes, but she's supposed to be a Christian, exclaimed Peyton. She hasn't been a Christian very long, though, said Cooper. I mean, we all do wrong things, too, and we've been Christians quite a long time. But she lied, Peyton said as she got up to get their dessert. Cooper has a point, said Mom. I'm not excusing what Bella did, or maybe you can lovingly remind her that God wants her to be honest. But don't be too hard on her. We all have sins we struggle with. As we grow in our relationship with Jesus, he teaches us to turn from sin and obey him. Looks good, Cooper said when Peyton set the instant pudding in front of him. It does, agreed Mom. You know, we often get the idea that everything should be instant, much like this meal is. Most of these things were easy and quick to fix because they're instant foods. They're pre-cooked. Sometimes we expect spiritual maturity to be like that, but it isn't. So it's more like the salad you made? Peyton asked. That took time to make, didn't it? Mom nodded. Yes, and it takes time to become a mature Christian too. So give Bella some time to learn and grow. So what about you? Do you have friends who are new Christians? When you trust in Jesus as your Savior, you become a Christian, but it takes some time to mature. Don't expect instant maturity from your friends either. You should pray for them and learn to be patient as you grow together and learn more about Jesus and how He wants you to live. Our key verse is found in the letter to the Romans, chapter 15, verse 1.
We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak.
And our key thought for the day, spiritual growth takes time. I'm Zach. Thanks for spending time with Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
I read online that the president is getting a checkup today. Even though he feels fine, why does he need it?
It's important to find illnesses before they become a bigger problem. Do you get nervous before you have to go to the doctor? If so, stay tuned to today's episode of Keys for Kids. I always feel a little nervous before I go to the doctor. It's okay to feel that way, but remember that a checkup at the doctor can help you stay healthy. The doctor might find some little problem and then treat it right away. It's important to have spiritual checkups, too. If it's been a while since you've prayed to God or read your Bible, that's a sign that you're not following Him as closely as you could. If you go on ignoring your spiritual health, eventually you may not be following God at all. So today, let's follow the encouragement of Lamentations 3:40. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Our story today is called Vital Signs. Tarek pushed open the door that had a sign with Dr. Sanjay Matani, the name of his father, printed on it. As he entered the waiting room, the office nurse smiled at him. Hi, Tarek. Your dad is almost done for the day. He'll be with you in a few minutes. Soon, Tarek and his father were in the car, headed for home. Dad, I heard on the radio that the president was having his annual checkup today, said Tarek. When people come in for one of those, they usually feel okay, don't they? So how do you tell if they're sick or not? Well, we check a lot of things and may run some tests, said Dad. Generally, if the vital signs are all good, the patient is healthy. Vital signs? Said Tarek. What are those? Oh, things like blood pressure, heartbeat, and lungs, said Dad. I also check the patient's height and weight and look at their eyes, ears, nose, and throat. I ask if they have any complaints at all. If I suspect there's any problem, I order other tests. And that's why a checkup is so important? Asked Tarek. Because there might be something wrong even if you feel good? Exactly, said Dad. The sooner illnesses are detected, the easier it is to treat them. He smiled at Tarek. There's another kind of checkup that's important to have regularly, and it's one we can give ourselves. Really? Asked Tarek. What is it? A spiritual checkup, Dad said. We should take a look at the vital signs of our Christian life. For example, we should see if prayer and reading the Bible have become regular habits, and we should have a loving attitude toward the Lord and toward other Christians. So if we're mad at some of them, that's a bad sign? Asked Tarek. Or if we don't want to talk to Jesus or go to church? Right, said Dad. Those signs indicate we need to repair relationships as soon as possible, with God and with others. We need to ask Jesus to reveal any areas of sin in our lives so we can confess them to Him and then be forgiven. Doing that helps us stay spiritually healthy and strong. Tarek nodded. I'll give myself a spiritual checkup today. So what about you? When was the last time you gave yourself a spiritual checkup? Are you interested in getting to know Jesus better? Do you tell him your problems and thank him for your blessings? Is there sin in your life that you need to confess to him? Do you enjoy being around other Christians? Do some regular checkups of your spiritual life so that you can grow strong in your faith. Our key verse is found in the Old Testament book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 40.
Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord.
And our key thought for the day, give yourself spiritual checkups. I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's daily devotional.
Jordan is so annoying. He keeps bugging me during Sunday school. I just want him to leave me alone.
Well, it sounds like he needs to work on listening in class. What do you need to work on? Welcome to Keys for Kids. As always, my name is Zach, and as always, I'm glad that you're listening. It would be great if everyone would suddenly become a perfect person just like Jesus instantly. Unfortunately, life doesn't work that way. It takes time to grow and mature, and nobody will be perfect here on earth. You'll always find stuff about other people that annoy you, and there will always be areas in which you need to grow too. But don't let that frustrate you, because Jesus calls each of his followers to keep growing in him, and he'll help you too, just like it says in Philippians 1:6. He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Our story is called The Polishing Process. I'm tired of being nice to Jordan, Dad, said Josiah. He's always bugging me. Today in Sunday school, he kept pestering me during the lesson. Why can't he grow up? Just then, Josiah's younger brother dashed into the room. Dad, can we go look at my rocks now? Asked Colton. It's been a whole week since I put them in my rock tumbler. It takes way longer than that to polish stones, Josiah reminded Colton. If you take them out now, they won't look much different from when you put them in. That's right, said Dad. We'll change the grinding agent pretty soon, but the rocks have to tumble for several weeks before they're smooth and shiny. Okay, said Colton. I'll leave them alone. As Colton left the room, Dad turned to Josiah. I guess Jordan isn't polished yet either. Josiah cocked his head. What do you mean by that? It takes a lot of polishing to make a person like Jesus, and that's a process all Christians are going through, including you and me, Dad explained. Just like the grinding agent is polishing those rough stones to make them shiny, the Holy Spirit is polishing each one of us so our lives can shine with the love of Jesus and reflect it to others. And just like rocks come in various shapes and have different areas they need smoothed away, we each have our own areas that we struggle with. Sounds like Jordan struggles with respecting others when it's time to listen in class. Dad looked at Josiah. What do you struggle with? Josiah sighed. Patience, I guess. I get annoyed at people easily. Dad nodded. I know it can be hard sometimes, but when you remember that Jesus is always loving and patient with you, it can help you be patient with others. Be patient with Jordan the next time he bothers you during class and ask him politely to stop. If it continues to happen, you could let one of the teachers know so they can help him settle down. Okay, Josiah said. I could also tell him more about the Bible stories we're learning about before class. Then maybe he'll want to listen too. So how about you? Do you get impatient with other Christians when they do things that you don't like? Remember, the polishing process isn't finished for you or anyone else, and you have rough spots of your own that need some smoothing. We all have areas that we struggle with, but God promises to finish the good work he began when Jesus saved us from sin. So be patient with others as you go through the polishing process together. Our key verse is found in the New Testament letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6.
I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
And our key thought for the day, be patient with other Christians. I'm Zach. Thanks for tuning in to listener-supported Keys for Kids.
Wasn't that a blast doing the daily devotionals? I hope that this was a time for you to become a lot closer to Jesus. Don't forget to talk to your parents about the story you heard today on Daily Devotional. I'm sure your family will have a great time talking about it together. I hope that you can read the Bible often to learn more about Jesus' teachings, pray to Jesus, and praise Jesus often throughout this whole week. Until then, see you next week. God bless you. Goodbye.